The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Philosophy, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Good to be here.
Good to have you here, Beth. What is this book that's been on the recording table for
Isn't
the last month?
Isn't this the social psychology textbook?
Is it?
Oh, public relations.
Things are changing.
We
really should. It would make us look way more studious.
Yeah, we could, like, learn it.
You're right.
I don't. Who teaches public relations in CST?
That's a good question.
Professor
Roche.
Okay. You know what else we should have is a stack of books slightly askew, with a skull on top, with a candle sticking out of the middle.
Never hurts.
Is that arcane enough for you?
Symbolic logic's up term two. You must put students in it for me.
I'm working on it. Advising starts sort of next week, but not really.
I rely on you for these things.
You got it.
You and Katie.
Symbolically, I will be there. Professor Dan Maggio from the First Organization is next to you. I was trying to speak fast enough to introduce you while you were still taking a sip of coffee, which would have been funnier.
I prepared myself for that.
What is it? What's the coffee from?
Red Hook. It's in Ferndale.
Oh, yeah.
It's very good.
Independent, right?
Yes, and it's with Pinwheel Bakery, which is where I always buy the cookies from.
The cookies. Mm-hmm. Oh, they are good.
The cookies, which are conspicuously absent.
He ate them all.
They're together in the same plate.
He is all about desserts, so that
there's nothing wrong with that.
I just bought something there, but I only bought one, so that's why I did bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Furiously filling out our show coordination sheet. Is that what you're doing?
Yes, I'm trying to.
Okay. Is the flying purple people eater himself?
Yes, I am. I'm
Professor
regal today.
Dave Chow.
One of my students actually said I was royal.
Wow.
A royal pain in the butt, maybe. But I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, pleasure to be here,
yes,
as always.
Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
Yes.
Wearing a slightly different color combination, Professor Jim Tubbs from Howdy. Religious Studies. How are you doing, Jim?
Vertical.
He is quite vertical.
Striped again.
Are you doing this on purpose?
Yes.
Oh, next week is
I'll look
through
the closet for anything striped when it's Friday.
Even horizontally?
I don't have any.
He's not a horizontal guy.
Only around the waist.
Yeah, well.
To accentuate a shape.
That would be an unending stripe.
Yeah, exactly. Next to you, taking a quick sip of Diet Coke, who you're going to share with who, Roy? Is this one of the... Oh, it's not one of the ones.
Oh.
Professor Roy Finkelbein is here from history.
Good to be here today. I am all about pain.
Oh, the culture of pain. How nice.
Uh-oh.
Look, if you could share that Diet Coke with anybody from history, who would you share it with? Archduke Franz Ferdinand?
Ooh. No.
Oh, I thought you meant his department.
That's
an uncomfortable question.
Having just taught about him in the modern Africa class this week, how about Shaka Zulu?
Oh, okay. That works.
The gods must be crazy.
But I think he might drink the whole Coke.
You can borrow the movie from Drew and I, Zulu and Don.
There you go.
About that uprising.
A man with a checkered past and a checkered shirt. Professor Jason Roach is here from Communication Studies.
Hey, and I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. It's the right color combination to mourn the Tigers.
It is. A little orange, a little blue.
Yes. Several of us were crying bitter, bitter tears. The evaporation of a lead late in the game. Oh, well.
And then I came and dragged you out of the lounge.
Maybe
wouldn't let
next
you watch
year.
The last of the game.
It didn't matter. We weren't going to win, so no worries there. Next to you, Jason, I'm sure you've noticed this, is Professor Heather Hill Vasquez visiting from the Department of English, our guest panelist for this week. We're glad to have you here, Heather.
Thanks. It's a great pleasure.
Excellent.
Surprise.
We knew she was coming.
I feel like I'm amongst the elite.
Oh, my gosh.
The elite what?
Only if your standards are very low.
Yes.
And no standards.
No
is it
comment.
Okay to tell you your feeling is misplaced? Yeah, exactly. Last but most certainly not least, with the clock ticking louder than it ever has before for the presence of Professor Diane Manica of the Department of Being Retired, it's Professor Diane Manica.
Hi there. Enjoying every day of it.
I bet you are. No coffee today.
Well, no. I had a commitment early and just couldn't arrange my time to get to the coffee place.
Was that commitment? So, you had to clean out your phone?
Yeah, and it was also her Irish coffee.
In place of signing pictures for our listeners.
right. today.
That's we were right. joking. With
one of I know, I only got to one. It was tough. It was really
retirement.
Tough.
Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. So in the interim time between our last show and now, I know we have some other questions we're going to get back to here in a moment. We actually emailed the entire University of Detroit Mercy community, students, employees, faculty, staff, that covers the whole list, community involvement, and all sorts of people sent us wonderful bits and pieces of questions that we're going to be interspersing between our regular questions cool. in the show. So just to start things off, hi, Matt. Here's my question, comma, one to which I do not have an adequate answer, colon. Why isn't this show on any Michigan public radio? Best, Marianne Hazen, Professor Emerita in Management. I don't have an answer for that either.
That's a great question.
It's at least as good as some of the crap that's on the radio, you know?
Some.
It's absolutely
some. Some, yeah.
Some. Sorry, Marianne, we don't have a good answer either, but, you know, the podcasting world means you can publish one book at a time, right?
Well, we hope Marianne's enjoying her retirement.
Yes, indeed, as Professor Emerita. Speaking of retirement, let's go back to some wonderful questions we were knocking off last time. You'll remember the differently colored paper of Bev Hollis of Redmond, Washington. Let's see, where did we leave this off? Our last question from her that we did respond to: what silent movie was the last appearance of Charlie Chaplin's Little Tramp that was modern times? Yes. Completely switching gears. What was the first European colony in China?
The Philippines?
No.
Hong Kong?
Macau.
Macau is what it says here. Macau. Now, I want to say that's
sense.
Currently, as in modern times, the largest casino in the world is at Macau.
Davidson.
Yep.
Oh, see. All his big bucks.
Okay. Which Western writer, or not necessarily Western in terms of culture, but Western in terms of genre, created Hopalong Cassidy?
It wasn't Louis L'Amour.
Louis L'Amour is what it says here, yeah. Mm-hmm. Louis L'Amour.
So it's a good first guess for Western.
Well, there's only so many, so.
I was thinking Zane Grey, but
yeah. Jean Le Carré.
You'd be surprised how many Western writers there are.
He doesn't write what? Did he write Westerns?
Who?
Jean Le Carré? I think he did some Westerns, yeah.
That's where
not all.
Famous alum got his start. He was writing Westerns.
Right.
Elmore Leonard. Oh,
well, yeah,
okay. That makes sense. What is it? The classic one from Arizona. Something to Yuma.
Something to Yuma. The
310 to Yuma.
Some numbers.
It's supposed to be a good movie for illustrating Kant's ethics, and I just don't see it.
Oh, wow.
When I watch.
I don't even know the story,
I
so
the 310 to Yuma
I gotta brush up.
A little late, though.
Professors, there was sort of a sub-nickname. Maybe you can even expand on this question. The question's asking, what is considered the Yellowhammer State? Not its primary nickname, but one of its other nicknames. I was wondering, what is one of Michigan's sort of sub-nicknames? We're obviously the Great Lakes State.
Wolverine State.
Yeah.
Frozen
State.
Wasteland.
Yeah. Hold it off as long as possible, Jim.
Montana.
No, it's not Montana. It's in the south.
Is it
and we have a map behind us.
Oh, Georgia.
Alabama.
It's not Georgia. It's Alabama is what it says
Alabama.
Here. Is that some sort of mineral or rock or... You
know, I expect it's probably a mosquito of some kind.
The only reason I ask is anybody who follows Tigers Radio knows that Jim Price uses the Yellowhammer as a really good pitch. So there's got to be some connection there. I don't know. He gave him the Yellowhammer. What does that mean? It sounds good. In Greek mythology, which of the muses was the patron of comedy?
Comedy.
You should know your muses and musings.
Not Joan Rivers.
No, that's dance.
Starts with a T. This is pretty esoteric. The same first name as the daughter of Ra's al Ghul from Batman mythology.
Oh,
that helps a lot.
Oh, Talia?
Talia is her name. Ooh, yeah. Right. Or Thalia.
Sorry.
I'm daughter of
Ra's al Ghul.
Director Francis Ford Coppola, right?
I could have said that.
You know, a clue that would help.
No, that's Sophia Coppola.
Talia Sharr is his wife. Yeah.
What was Hans Christian Andersen's profession before writing became his profession?
He was a cobbler.
Shoemaker.
As a mermaid.
Shoemaker, cobbler.
I have not heard anything.
Darn, no.
It says what it says here.
Ice skater?
No.
Teacher.
I'm just kidding. No.
Banker. No. Lawyer.
I believe the famous line by Tom Stoppard, famous playwright, said, blank, which was Anderson's profession, are the opposite of people.
Well, he was an animal?
a professor?
The answer is that Hans Christian Andersen was an actor before he became a
teachers are kind of like actors.
Yeah, we are.
Performers.
Definitely. Teaching is a performance art.
In terms of proper names, what is the most frequently used name from cover to cover in the Bible?
Joseph?
It's not Joseph, but that would have been my guess, too.
Abraham?
Not Abraham.
Mary.
God? God?
Mary.
No. We're not.
Jesus?
No, it was not Jesus.
That's
no,
a name.
It was not.
It's a Most name.
Common. Yeah. David? No.
John.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It was David. Yeah, well, you just said it. Yeah, David is what it has.
Cool.
Here.
Does that mean the most characters with are people with that name?
I think the most mentioned, the most frequently used word.
Frequently right. mentioned the most times.
Wow, more than Jesus, Abraham, and Moses.
That's what it says here. That's what it says.
Wow. Wow.
It's all that Son of David references.
Yeah.
There were a lot of
stories. About the House of David. Fornebu Airport serves what European city?
What was it?
Brussels.
I always go and I look at the map and I'm always in it.
Fornebu.
Fornebu, Fornebu.
Reykjavik?
No, but you're in the right zone.
It's Greenland.
It's not Greenland.
Oh.
Oslo?
Oslo is what I have here. Oslo, Norway. Yeah. Fornebu.
Fornebu.
Who famously said, I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Sounds like Woody Allen.
That is Woody Allen.
Straight up. Sounds about right.
Just from the tenor of the quote. Professor Oljar
steals.
We
could hear the venom.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What famous ruler had a horse named, oh my, Bucephalus? B-U-C-H-E-P-H-A-L-U-S.
Bucephalus?
Catherine the Great?
No. No, but I'll tell you what. I'll give you partial credit on the great part.
Peter the Great.
Alexander.
It was Alexander the Great. Oh my. That was. I'm actually not able to recover.
There's a tongue twister.
Laughter. Oh my gosh.
Bucephalus.
Yeah.
Well, when you're tutored by Aristotle, this is what happens.
That's you?
Wow. You were tutored by Aristotle?
Indirectly, right?
I wish.
At least indirectly.
No, Alexander the Great was.
He was. Speaking of that era only, who was the Greek god of wine?
Bacchus.
Dionysus.
Dionysus.
Bacchus
is the Roman count.
Ernest and Julio Gallo?
Oh. Yep.
Ernest and Julio.
Yep. Julio.
Julio. Julio. Yep.
Orson Welles.
Gale. Julio Gale.
What famous actress was given the name upon being born? Vera Jane Palmer.
Vera Miles.
Good old Jane Vera
Mansfield.
Palmer.
Jane Mansfield.
Jane's Mansfield is what it says here. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Oh, sure.
Very, very well done.
Aww.
What movie features the characters Andy Walsh and Blaine Madonna or McDonough?
Oh, that's Pretty in Pink?
Pretty in Pink.
Oh, that's right.
Damn, I feel like that.
Sir Maggio comes through with the 80s reference. That's awesome.
It's an appliance. What's the line that he says? His name is Blaine. He goes, that's not a name, it's an appliance.
Blaine?
Yeah.
Never saw that.
It's an odd spelling.
You never saw Pretty in Pink?
If you're going to watch any of his movies, watch 16 Candles. It's such a
Breakfast Club.
I had the hots for Molly Ringwald, so I watched them all. So.
Yeah, yeah. What actor holds the distinction of winning the most TV Land awards of all time?
Actor?
What actor?
TV Land.
I don't even know what to say about something like the TV Land
Award.
Is this
like a good night kind of award?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
this should put you in a certain direction. He's a very, very famous
one of the Brady Bunch
actor.
People.
I'm giving you extra time to think about it while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The University of Detroit presents Ask the Professor. The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWint, and today we have our regular panel with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
A pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, I mean, it truly is.
On his right, from the Department of English, Professor Claire Crabtree.
Hi, Edwin.
Hi,
glad
Claire.
To be here.
Glad to have you here.
It's an honor and a privilege. I'm going to go on now. I'm going to make a speech.
All right. Are you through? Claire's right. From the Department of Theater, Professor Arthur Beer.
Hello, Edwin.
Hello. On our last program, we were near the end of a set of questions from Bertie Bates of Grinnell, Iowa, one of our longtime listeners. She was asking you questions about movie stars.
Darling Stevens, I love it.
Yes, Darling
Stevens. Obscure. We'd like to add obscure movie stars.
This woman was a nightclub hostess in later years, but when young, made a short subject doing some lightning-fast trick riding.
Annie Oakley.
No.
A nightclub hostess.
Catherine the Great.
That's right. That's right. Her first name was the name of a great southern state, big state.
Texas
Guinan?
That's right.
Texas what?
Texas Guinan used to run a speakeasy in New York, and she was famous for saying, "Welcome, suckers," when people came in.
That was Sophie Tucker.
No.
Okay. How many times did she say that to you, Arthur?
I wasn't there back then.
But his father told him.
Right.
And we are back with some great questions from Beth Hollis of Redmond, Washington. We're actually down to the very last one. It's a tough one. What actor holds the distinction of winning the most TV Land awards? And I believe the way that Professor Roach just put it is, does that mean it's a Nick at Night award? Oh, yes, that's exactly what it means. So someone from classic TV.
Jonathan Winters.
I mean, you're in the right wheelhouse. The initials are J.A. First name, same as my middle name.
John.
And G-A. Second name, famous Old Testament prophet with the four-letter
name.
Amos.
Good times.
Good times.
Yeah. Really? That's the most TV Land awards.
Even though they had to kill him off on Good Times.
Right? Isn't that sad?
Yeah, absolutely, but he was really sad. Good in Coming to America.
Among other things. And Die Hard 2.
Totally. From our mining of questions from
Beth
the UDM community,
like...
we have quite the stumping question here.
Oh.
Sarah Isaacson, who's a lecturer in our math department. She lives in Birmingham, Michigan, and she asks, why do we have different seasons on Earth? This may sound like an easy question, but there is a video circulating on the internet in which 21 of 23 recent college graduates got this incorrect.
Because it rotates?
The axis rotates?
It rotates on its axis toward and away from
plus the
sun.
Oh, no, it's a tilting of the axis.
Tilted axis is the best response.
Orbit too, so I was wrong.
Sounds like a great name.
As the Earth revolves around the sun, the North Pole always points in the same direction towards the North Star, and therefore, depending on its position in the orbit, varying parts of the Earth will be able to receive more of the sun's energy. Now, for the record, that's not technically true either. Because we get more energy sent to us during winter, it's just that the angles are more oblique than direct. That's the difference. So it does not have anything to do with how close the Earth is to the sun at all. And while the Earth's orbit is not a perfect circle, it is closer to a circle than most people think. Thanks, Sarah. That's cool.
The Republicans are probably blaming Obama.
I'm sure it's his fault.
It must be some conspiracy.
Conspiracy, absolutely.
The twisted axis conspiracy.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that actually has a nice ring to it.
This is the new axis power.
I'm sure it's because it's tilting.
I didn't mean
the
Republicans as much as the extreme conservatives.
Oh, my gosh. Roy, I don't know if you're going to have to recuse yourself, but your direct colleague and our communal colleague, Greg Sumner, sent this next grouping of questions.
Uh-oh.
From the Department of History at University of
Michigan. They might be about music rather than about...
They are about history.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Here are five questions about our 32nd president. And anybody that stayed up to watch the Roosevelts is going to be pretty
so
much solid
good.
On this.
It was so good.
FDR's famous dog had what name?
Fala.
Fala was her name.
I hate war. Fala hates war.
Hates war. Eleanor hates war.
That's scary.
Oh, I love it.
It's a cute little dog.
That was very good. Yeah. You should run for president.
I'd vote for you.
Council chairs.
No.
Oh, darn.
Who was FDR's opponent in the 1936 election?
That was Wilkie, wasn't
Wilkie?
It?
Wilkie?
Was it Landon?
No.
Thomas
Landon? I'm on a 7-second delay
Landon.
Here. So.
It says, poor Alf Landon, comma, utterly crushed.
Nancy's
in 1936.
Nancy Lennon Kassebaum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who did FDR appoint as the first woman cabinet member, and what was her post?
Oh, Frances
Perkins.
Frances Perkins.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's who...
Oh, did we hear the
secretary?
That's
baby's real name in Dirty Dancing.
That's
she's
right.
Named Frances after the first woman in the cabinet.
That's right.
Secretary of Labor.
Secretary
right?
of Labor.
Yeah, Labor.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Name the sites of FDR's two wartime summits with Churchill and good old Uncle Joe?
Yalta
and Casablanca.
And Casablanca.
Tehran is the other one.
Tehran.
It says
Tehran.
Here. Yeah, oh, okay. You got that one. Yalta and Tehran.
Yeah, there's that famous photo.
You're confusing that with the movie.
There in Casablanca.
At his memorial, at FDR's memorial in Washington, is he sitting or standing?
He's sitting in a wheelchair.
In a wheelchair. That's what it says here. I did not know that.
That was very controversial.
Did not know
that. With Fala, as I understand.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. In front of the American Embassy in London, in Grosvenor Square, there's a statue of him standing but with a cane, which is, you know, their
sort of
way of trying to respect his desire never to be pictured in a wheelchair.
Although he did say at one of his State of the Unions, I hope you don't, he was sitting in a higher
chair. He just returned from Yalta at that point.
Right.
And was giving an address to the to the Congress about
like, I know you'll forgive me if I...
He had traveled 10,000 miles, and but he was really in terrible medical condition at that point.
Well, we'll switch gears again and go back to a larger question set. Dear profs, last March I sent in a hodgepodge of mentally scarring questions. All had to do with William Shatner.
Oh,
but
no.
They were to much laughter and hilarity. To follow that up, I've enclosed 16 on another amazing thespian of our times. Here's a batch of questions on the infamous Burt Reynolds.
I was thinking Leonard Nimoy.
That's where I thought it was going to.
So Burt.
Julie has written here, "Let the groaning ensue," which we watched.
She knows us well.
I'll defer to Professor Miles' judgment as to what he deems worthy of passing. Please enjoy. Regards, Julie Elder of Poughkeepsie, New York.
All right.
Thanks, Julie. All I can think of when I think of Burt Reynolds is not Burt Reynolds. Have you ever seen the Saturday Night Live sketch where they're all playing at people who were auditioning for Star Wars? It's Burt Reynolds auditioning for Darth Vader. And they're like, okay, say the line. He goes, first, let me know, what kind of car does this guy drive? The sort of question you would expect him to ask. That was Norm MacDonald as Burt Reynolds auditioning for Darth Vader.
He did an amazing Burt Reynolds.
Oh, my gosh. Who did Burt Reynolds portray in the movie Deliverance? What was the name of the character?
What was his name?
Initials L-M.
Lon? No.
Lance?
Larry?
Larry?
Nope.
Longitude?
Lionel.
Longworm.
Less.
Many, many kings of France?
Leo.
Louis.
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 Louis M. something. Some people use this as an M starting word nickname for taking their medication, their pharmaceuticals.
Meds?
Med, okay. And the other thing would be if I said Schlage, I think we have this, Schlage.
Lock?
Key.
Lock. It was Louis Medlock was the name of the character.
So. Never would have gotten that in a million.
No.
Did not.
I tried.
Well, you know.
Somebody cue up the banjos.
That's one of those movies I did not see a second time.
Because really, why do you need to? I mean, once you've seen it.
It's a cultural touchstone, though. I mean, people parody that.
There's too much
all
touching
the time.
It to begin with.
Well, yeah, okay. There is.
The
there
dueling
is.
Banjos are the best part of it.
When offered the role of James Bond by Albert Broccoli after Sean Connery left the franchise, what was Reynolds' reason for turning down the role?
He had no talent.
What kind of car does this guy drive?
He was committed to a car race movie.
He would have had to shave his mustache.
He couldn't speak British.
You have to actually think about him doing what we might view artistically as kind of an honorable thing.
But James Bond can't drive a Trans Am?
No.
Oh,
he didn't think he was right for the role.
Yeah, he said no American should play a British spy. Forget it. That's what it says here.
Oh, really?
Give him some credit.
The British accent.
He said that.
Bert,
he's hilarious.
Maybe he's a better guy than we're giving him credit for.
Could have killed the franchise.
It's true. That is so true. Burt Reynolds also turned down the role of Han Solo. That's where the gag comes from in Saturday Night Live. So the very first Star Wars movie we now know is Episode 4. To whom did George Lucas offer the role to next? This person turned it down, and then it went to Harrison Ford.
Oh,
what was his name? Prince of Tides.
Nick Nolte?
Nick Nolte it went to, yes.
Yeah. He would have been kind of good.
Nick Nolte.
There's
been
another movie you really don't have to watch more than once.
Prince of Tides?
Yeah. Although it's a great book. Pat Conroy is a great writer, but...
So Nick Nolte, that would have been really interesting. Mm. I'm just thinking of the recent mug shots these last few years.
Let's not.
Celebrity mug shots, oh my goodness.
Who played the sheriff in the Smokey and the Bandit movie series?
Jackie Gleason.
Jackie Gleason.
As, was it Yep. Was that the Buford T. Justice?
That was
okay.
He.
Yeah.
Nick Nolte, though, in North Dallas 40 was okay, just yeah. right. Just
How about
right.
Rich Man, Poor Man when he was
oh,
hot.
Rich Man, yeah.
He and Peter Strauss.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
What happened to
48 Hours?
Eddie Murphy. Was, come on, every time I bring up an Eddie Murphy movie, you
That was a good movie. He's a terrible actor, that's why.
Great voiceovers.
Beverly Hills Cop's a good
Supposedly,
starts in Detroit.
This game that show's set is modeled after the first place the game was played, Burt Reynolds' living room. What game show is it?
Is that that win, draw,
win, loser,
win,
draw?
Loser, draw? Loser,
draw
is
no.
The Burt Reynolds' living room with Burt Convy.
Oh, yeah. I got to get on that show.
Can I just say something? Burt Convy.
Doesn't quite ring true.
He's passed on, right?
He's a dud, a real dud. Okay. I always get a kick out of
I thought he passed
him.
Away a few years ago.
Oh,
so
I'm
I was
sorry.
Not
or at least his career did.
Next, you're going to tell me he's not worthy of a TV Land Award.
Multiple TV Land Awards.
According to questions made up for this question set, Burt Reynolds only got married twice. To whom?
Lonnie Anderson.
Who is his first wife?
Sally Field?
Who is the first wife? Initials J.C.
No. Never married Sally.
First name the same as one of our religious sisters of mercy in the nursing program.
Judy.
Yep. Judy.
Can't be Collins.
I'm laughing.
It's not Julie.
Judy Carn?
Judy Carn is what it says here. Yeah.
She was 11.
I remember one of the first times I saw her.
Was that one of those bubbly blondes?
He was being interviewed by Dinah Shore.
Always in a bikini.
After they had split up.
On Laughing.
And she looked at him and she goes, "Who's your hobby now?"
Wow.
And I kind of didn't get it. My mom goes, "That's because she used to be his hobby."
Yeah.
When he had moved on to Sally, I think.
Oh, my.
They never got married, Sally.
Nope, they didn't.
They just hung out.
What was the name of the professional football team that Burt Reynolds owned?
Tampa Bay.
Wow, how do you
It's
know
USFL.
This?
Bandits?
It is.
Bandits.
Thank you. Oh, my.
Bandits.
I knew it was Tampa Bay. You guys come together and say every word on the line. You guys are a piece
Lake
of work.
Like Smokey and the Bandit. Is that
well,
where you got
USFL.
It from?
That's all I'm sure. USFL, the Tampa Bay Bandits. Yep.
It's frightening
that
you guys know
that. He used to play football before he heard his
name. Yeah, for the Gators.
Yep. He was a football player.
Freshman year, FSU.
Yep. In the 2005 remake, I don't think that's an accurate word, but when they turned The Dukes of Hazzard into a movie, who did Reynolds portray and, frankly, earn a Razzie nomination for Worst Actor?
Was he Boss Hogg?
He was Boss Hogg, absolutely. And we're going to have to boss ourselves right out of here by saying goodbye. Professor Manica.
Goodbye.
Professor Hill Vasquez.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Professor Roach.
Shepherd the lost sheep.
Professor Finkenbein.
So long.
Professor Tubbs.
Au revoir.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Maggio.
Bye.
Professor Oljar.
Later.
That was so long, we have to start the next show now. And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.